Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Like a ribbon. You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome in. It's Anita Marks here on this Sunday, as we like to call it, Sunday Fun Day. Hopefully all of us are is having as much fun as possible considering our situation. So funny, whenever anyone asks me, so Anita, how are you doing? My response is, well, considering our situation, I'm doing quite well. And hopefully you guys are as well. So with you for the next 3 hours, I'm in the fantastic living room of my apartment. So again, I always like to start the show and preface with the fact that I am broadcasting from home, and I do have quite a few dogs. So if you hear barking in the background, that is why. and we'll just roll with it. You never know. And back in the studio, we have Giselle and Nikki, who are working on the show as well. So Giselle, good morning. Welcome. How you doing?
Good morning, Anita. I'm doing all right. I'm a little tired, but otherwise okay.
A little tired? What, late night last night?
No, I'm just not a morning person.
Oh. Well, did you write that in your resume?
Yeah, that's why I was working night shifts only.
Did you write that? Does Ryan and John know that you're not a morning person?
But they know.
They put you on a Sunday 9 a.m. show. That's cute.
Got to do what you got to do.
All right. Well, let's try to rock and roll for the next 3 hours. It is the day after the Belmont Stakes. We're going to get into that. Rob Masiello is going to join us momentarily to give us a recap of the Belmont and what to look forward to. Obviously, because of the pandemic, it's a different state of affairs when it comes to the Triple Crown this year. Obviously, the Belmont was yesterday. The Belmont Stakes was yesterday. Instead of a mile and a half, it was a mile and an eighth. Tis the Law was the winner. And then you've got the Kentucky Derby now that is set for September 5th and the Preakness that is set for October 3rd. But there are quite a few races that are going to happen in between at Monmouth and Saratoga and the Traverse. So Rob Masiello is going to jump on board in about 10 minutes and fill us in and give us a preview of what's to come. Also, a good friend, Brandon Steiner, is going to join the show. He's a new site out called collectibleexchanges.com. So very interesting. You would think that in the middle of a pandemic, people out there who, you know, collect all kinds of sports memorabilia and whatnot, that it would fall by the wayside. It's really been interesting to see some of the companies that have really thrived during the pandemic, and surprising some that have not. So I thought it'd be cool to have Brandon Steiner on and talk about what memorabilia is out there, and what that landscape looks like right now. He's going to be joining us at 10 o'clock. Big storyline happening right now in golf. And Nick Watney, who's one of the PGA players, was tested positive on Friday. And so he played on Thursday and felt some symptoms on Friday and still went to the club, got tested. But even after he got tested, went to the driving range and hit balls. So depending on what's going to happen the next week or 2 weeks, and really all eyes on the PGA Tour now in regard to how they're handling their operations when it comes to COVID-19. And if other golfers are going to come down positive, what if the caddies, there's a number of caddies out there that are, you know, up in age, that I would imagine have some big concerns. So all eyes on the PGA Tour for the next 10 to 14 days to see what the fallout's going to be. So we're going to dive into that. Michael Collins, a.k.a. the caddy for ESPN, is going to join us at 10 a.m. And then, of course, good friend of the show, Cynthia Freeland, is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Dr. Fauci came out this week and told CNN that he did not feel that the NFL would have any success having the season this year if it wasn't for if Roger Goodell and the NFL and the NFLPA did not agree to operate in a bubble. So we're going to dive into all that today. Also, there's some new NBA news, Major League Baseball, the Mets and the Yankees being able to train in New York, which is great. But first and foremost, again, let's take a look at the Belmont. This was the final call down the stretch when Tis the Law won the Belmont Stakes.
And they're into the stretch of the Belmont, and Tis the Law has taken charge. Set down in the final furlong by Manny Franco, Tis the Law's got a two-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York Hero, Tis the Law, and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes. They took it by four lengths in the end.
Has to be one of the most exciting, what, 10, 15 seconds in sports sometimes, especially, you know, we've been blessed that, we've been able to witness some Triple Crown winners as of late. And typically, obviously, outside the pandemic typically happens, as we know, at the Belmont Stakes, but Tis the Law, won. Now, this is the first New York horse that has won the Belmont Stakes since 1882. Why is that? Again, Rob Masiello is going to join us, and we'll find out why. Dr. Post came in second, owned by the Florida Panthers hockey team. Florida, the owner of the Florida Panthers. That's his horse, Dr. Post. I want to say, at post time, no pun intended, I want to say he was 9-1, and I put some money down on him for the upset. Close, but no cigar. And Max Player came in third. Max Player was a horse that, whose trainer was a woman, and, never in the history of the Belmont Stakes has a horse won the Belmont Stakes that was trained by a woman, and Max Player came in third. So, Tap It to Win was the one horse that a number of people had, were favoring to pull the upset, but unfortunately finished fifth. I actually had an exacta box with Tis the Law and Tap It to Win, but that did not win either. So probably the most impressive race yesterday was Garmin, in the Acorn Stakes, a female horse, a Baffert horse, who just crushed the course. Like in record time, and granted a lot of speed we saw yesterday because it was so dry. As we know, it hasn't rained here in quite a while. But now there's some talk and speculation that maybe Baffert is going to try to get Garmin into the Derby. Again, all of this I will tee up for Rob Masiello, who's going to join us momentarily. Also, like I said, I do want to dive into the NBA. COVID-19 is on the rise in Florida. And just to kind of give you an idea, Saturday was the third straight day of COVID recorded cases on the rise. Over 4,000 new cases came in on Saturday in Florida. So what does that mean? I mean, you know, when it pertains to the NBA. Now, the NBA, they're anticipating that the players arrive into Orlando, the Disney sports complex, on July 7th, anywhere between July 7th, 8th, and 9th, and they're going to be tested, quarantined, all that. Practice will start, I believe, like 7 to 10 days later. And games are supposed to start on July 30th. But I just feel like each and every day when, you know, we're reading up about the game plan for the NBA, it's just, there's always, whether it's Kyrie Irving and hosting a Zoom, requesting players to not participate in this season, for a number of reasons, health reasons being one of them, but also the Black Lives Matter movement and Kyrie and a number of players feeling like if they start the season and they go to Orlando, that movement and their efforts in that movement will fall by the wayside, which I totally understand and I respect if that's their concern. And again, let me preface by saying any player, whether it's an NBA player, NFL player, Major League Baseball, hockey player who says, you know what, I'm just not digging it this season. If you're scared, say you're scared. I'm scared of COVID-19. I'm scared that the leagues, do not have their T's crossed or their I's dotted. The protocols are not for me. I don't feel that this is safe. So I'm going to sit this season out. I totally respect that. I do not have a problem with that. I do not have a problem with that at all. But now, the latest in regard to the NBA is because of the rise of positive COVID-19 cases in Florida. And also on top of that, the Disney company, their staffers are under union. And the reports out there is that a lot of their staffers will not be tested. And staffers, what am I talking about staffers? I'm talking about like hotel staff who are going to come in and you know, clean the rooms. Well, apparently, what are they trying to do? The staff is not going to be quarantined at the hotel. They're going to be able to go home. When they do come in to clean the rooms, they're only going to be cleaning the NBA players' rooms once a week as opposed to every day. They're going to have to come in. They're going to have to wear a face mask, gloves, the whole nine yards. And on top of that, they could only come into the rooms when the NBA players are not there. Bus drivers will be tested. So it's just each and every day I feel like I'm going online and I'm researching what's going on with the NBA and we're getting updates in regard to how things are going to be handled. Last week, this wasn't the case. Last week, the big concern was Disney employees were not going to be tested and bus drivers weren't going to be tested. And so I think the NBA is trying to take steps in making it as safe as possible. But there still has to be some really tremendous, tremendous concerns here. You know, not just the way that Disney and its employees are going to handle this bubble, but also, again, the fact that COVID-19 and positive cases are on the rise in Florida. And Florida now is a hotspot. And in a few weeks, the NBA is going to send 22 teams and their players to a hotspot? Huge red flags. So as positive as I want to be and as desperate, let's be honest, as desperate as we all are to get sports back in action, there has to be some concern here. What if the cases in Florida do not begin to decline before July? What if they continue to rise? You know, we now, especially, you know, granted, New York and New Jersey are one of the two best cities in the country right now because we had our share. You know, we were the epic center. We were the hotspot. And we quarantined and we did all the things we needed to do. And then now we're back down. We're heading on the downslope. But we've opened up. Monday, tomorrow is phase two in New York City. Here where I live in New Jersey, I live in the Hoboken area, you know, let me tell you something. It's active and attractive out here. Restaurants have built these wood docks that extend onto Washington Street. Last night at midnight, ton of people outside, not respecting the 6 feet distancing. Nobody had masks on. So, you know, I get that we as a country need to get back into whatever normalcy we can, but it comes with great risk. And unfortunately, Florida is not a great spot. So all eyes on the NBA. And again, hopefully this can happen and hopefully the timeline will remain the same. But I'll tell you what, if these COVID cases, if they continue to rise, there has to be really massive, massive concern for the NBA and the NBA players to head down to Florida. I mean, to arrive right into the hotspot in order to have this bubble city and get their season complete. 800-919-3776. We will hear from Bobby Marks, also Brian Windhorst, and a number of other people in regard to what's going on with the NBA. But quick break. We come back again. Rob Masiello is going to join us. We'll recap the Belmont and what to look forward to in regard to horse racing. I know, again, September 5th, the Kentucky Derby, it's a ways away, but there's still a number of great races that are going to take place in Monmouth and Saratoga as well. So that next.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. Track
money, Benny. Anita Marks with you on this Sunday fun day. Rob Masiello joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Rob, happy Father's Day, buddy.
Thank you very much. I've been celebrating Father's Day for several hours already, unfortunately.
How old is your daughter now?
She's 3.5.
Okay.
So, yeah, and you know, it's one thing I forgot about is that it's, you know, Florida, it's kind of generally the same amount of lightness and dark. You know, obviously it changes a little bit winter to summer, but forgot how light it gets up here in the summer. So 5 a.m. we were ready to go today. So little bit tired, but
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. All right. Well, let's dive into it. Tis the Law. One, you were on with us yesterday. I mean, everybody anticipated him to win. But more importantly, what did you see in the race? Do you feel that he ran a strong race to win?
Yeah. You know, I thought, you know, obviously he was kind of the consensus pick. We talked about, and we have talked about over the years, about horses that can put themselves into a good tactical position and then also have the ability to kind of shut it off and not be too hyped up. And I think that's exactly what you saw yesterday with Manny Franco and Tis the Law. The pace ended up being, we talked a little bit yesterday about how the pace might end up being really fast, and it actually never really materialized. They went a half mile in 46 seconds, which as fast as the track's been the last week, that actually was a pretty moderate pace up front, and you could just kind of see the way Manny was sitting on him that he knew he had a lot of horse. And I thought it was just a very professional victory, and you know, kind of validated what everyone's been saying about him over the last several months.
Prior to the race, I had you on like right at about 40 minutes before the race, and I asked you, right, how are you betting this? And you were all over Dr. Post. And at post time, I want to say, no pun intended, I want to say he was 9-1. So I threw a few bucks on him and, bridesmaid, close, but no cigar. So I was rooting for Dr. Post. Dr. Post came in second. Max Player came in third. What other horses impressed you yesterday?
Yeah, I like the way Dr. Post ran. So, you know, again, the track was very speed favoring all day. That's why I thought you might end up with a kind of a nuclear pace because someone might try to take advantage of that. But the pace ended up being moderate, and Dr. Post was kind of, you know, I mean, he was in a good position, but he was probably running against the track bias yesterday. Irad swung him out, and he put his run in. He just kind of, you know, he was never going to get to Tis the Law, but I thought, you know, he ran a very impressive race. He's also a horse that's only run, I think that was his fourth career race. So, certainly upside there. And the Quality Roads, he's by Quality Road. Quality Road's a sire that horses tend to get better with age. He's a horse I think has a lot of upside. Definitely a horse that I would look to bet back in a big race later this summer. And I spoke a little bit yesterday. I always thought he was a type, like, when I saw that horse race last year on 4th of July in his debut race, he was a horse that really, always in the back of my mind, I thought that could be a horse that, you know, not just necessarily the Derby, but maybe some of the summer classics like the Haskell or the Travers, he might be a horse you'd want to keep your eye out for. So, he ran second. Obviously, I thought he ran very well, and he's definitely, and again, I think the biggest thing with him is he ran against the track bias yesterday. The horses that were on or near the lead did very, very well yesterday, and he was one of the few that came from, you know, decently off the pace and finished reasonably well. So he's definitely one to keep your eye out on.
Again, Rob Masiello joining us here on 98.7 ESPN to recap the Belmont and look forward to the Kentucky Derby, which is September 5th. And then, of course, the Preakness on October 3rd. Does the change of schedule and the timing between the races help or hurt Tis the Law, Rob?
That's a good question. I think it probably hurts him a little bit because, you know, what we see over the years is that horses that come, even if they don't win, the horses that go to Pimlico out of the Derby tend to do very well, right? Even though they're coming back on short rest, they're obviously kind of a better quality horse, generally speaking, than the horses that didn't make it to the Derby and focus on the Preakness. But, you know, they're obviously dead fit. And then what tends to happen is those horses that come out of the Derby run in the Preakness off of 2 weeks' rest tend to run well, but then that the real challenge is trying to come back 3 weeks later again and running in the Belmont. I think what happens now is this really opens clearly Tis the Law is the best three-year-old today, but there are some other horses that, you know, either have just broken their maiden or are kind of later developing types that, you know, the race being moved back to September, it kind of gives them a little bit more time to get to the race. Even a horse like Dr. Post, frankly, like I said, he's only run, that was only his fourth race. So the fact that he now gets, you know, a couple months, he'll get another race under his belt before he goes back to the Derby. It just kind of, I think what it does is it gives a chance for some of these other three-year-olds to kind of catch up to where Tis the Law is. Whereas, like, sometimes the Triple Crown is almost a snapshot in time. It's sort of like how you know, certain horses are doing over 1 month period, basically. So, you know, I think it's more of a detriment, ironically, to Tis the Law, the fact that the races are spread out this much.
One horse, you and I were texting back and forth, that was really, really impressive was Garmin. And kind of talk about what was so impressive about her, her run, and do you feel that she will get into the Derby?
Yeah, so Bob Baffert has a filly that they paid last year. She was the sales topper. She went for $1.8 million, which is quite expensive for any horse, especially a two-year-old in training. And so she ran in an undercard race called the Acorn. It's a very prestigious race. It's a grade one. It's a mile, and I think for a lot of breeders, they tend to like, especially fillies that can win at that distance, because it's kind of an in-between distance. So when you're thinking about breeding a horse, you like having a horse that's both has the ability to show some speed, but also has some stamina that they can carry it over a distance. So milers tend to be kind of favorable types for breeding. And she ran what I thought was, without question, the most impressive race of the day. She ran a mile in just over a minute 32. And what was super impressive is similar. I don't want to sound like an idiot, but similar to Secretariat, she, one of the few times I've seen where a horse in their last quarter mile substantially sped up relative to their previous quarter mile in a dirt race. Now, you see that in turf racing all the time, but in dirt racing, generally the fractions get progressively a little bit slower as you progress through the race. She actually went her fastest. Her third quarter mile was like 24 seconds, and her last quarter mile was 23 seconds. So she sped up quite substantially, and she earned, a 110 buyer speed figure, which was 10 points higher than what Tis the Law got yesterday. I think he got 100 buyer. So she was super impressive. I think she was by far the fastest horse on the day. She was not nominated to the Kentucky Derby. Now, the owner spent $1.8 million to buy her, so I don't think he's going to mind too much ponying up the extra, I think it might be $25,000 now to nominate for the Derby. I don't think that's going to be an issue. Bob Baffert, I think, did say that he was not really thinking about the Derby for her. He was thinking about the Oaks. Bob Baffert actually has an even more expensive colt that just broke his maiden named Cezanne. That cost, I think, $3.65 million that was purchased at the Phase Excel last year. So, you know, I think he's probably thinking in terms of trying to get that horse on the Derby trail, and maybe he might want to keep this filly headed more towards the Kentucky Oaks. But I think that there's going to be a lot of speculation because, you know, honestly, she's, to me, she might be the best three-year-old in the country, full stop, including Tis the Law. The way she ran yesterday was that impressive.
Again, Rob Masiello joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Before we start talking Monmouth and Saratoga, there was something else that you had texted me in regard to the Empire Six. What is that about?
Yeah, so it's something I just wanted to bring up because I think it's interesting, especially as people are. I know that a lot of people have started signing up for Naira Betts accounts, and you know, there's not really much going on in the world of sports. I just wanted to quickly talk about the Empire Six because it's a really interesting wager. It's one of the only wagers I can think about where oftentimes there's actually an expected profit if you put a bet in. So basically the way it works is that this Empire Six pool builds up every day, and the only way it really gets paid out in full is if there's one unique ticket. So most days there's usually several unique tickets, and therefore I think 75% of the money bet in rolls over to the next day. And then the way that they set it up is on certain days, today being one of them, they distribute the whole pool. So it just turns into a normal bet where every person that has a winning ticket, they divide up the total pool among those winners, and that's that. So currently, I think the carryover for today is it's over $300,000. So that's just free money sitting in the pool, and then people will bet into it today. You know, I think the pool will probably do, let's say it does a couple million dollars of bets. You know, Naira will take out 20% of that, which is like $400,000, but there's already basically $400,000 sitting in the pool already. So basically what that means is that the takeout is sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's zero, sometimes it's barely negative. So, you know, in terms of like, if you want to have a little bit of fun today, there's not much going on. It's you have to pick six winners, but the minimum bet is 20 cents. So you can kind of spread it out a little bit, pick a couple horses you like in a couple races, maybe spread out in a few of the other legs. But, you know, it's really interesting because it's the one bet, like I said, that really a lot of times the takeout actually ends up being a negative number. Versus, like, if you think about it, if you bet on the Giants -3, you know, in the fall, generally speaking, there's usually like a 10%, you know, or 5% takeout from the bookmaker. So just something to consider, you know, especially, like I said, with not that much going on. But it's one of the few things we have in racing where we really do have an advantage in terms of betting versus kind of some other sports.
All right. Before we let you go, you know, there's a long time to wait for the Kentucky Derby for September 5th. But I know that there's a lot going on at Monmouth and Saratoga, the Travers as well. So what can we look forward to? That starts in July, right?
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. This is obviously a very different summer. You have they just announced on Friday that the Travers has been moved up to August 8th. It's typically the Saturday before Labor Day. And the Haskell actually got bumped up by 2 weeks. I think it's July 18th now or something along those lines. You also have
no fans though, right? No fans.
No fans. You know, NYRA is still working on trying to figure out a way to let people go to Saratoga, but I know that's, you know, it's really up to the governor. I've mentioned, on the board of the Horsemen's Association, so I've been getting a lot of incoming questions about that, and, you know, we're working on it, but it's ultimately a decision that Governor Cuomo is going to make, and, you know, we obviously want to be cognizant of keeping our fan safety safe, but, you know, so I think that there's a chance that there will be some fans at Saratoga. There aren't going to be fans at the Haskell. You also have the Bluegrass Stakes, which is typically a prep for the Derby that's run in April. This year it's going to be run in early July. So it's just, I think it's going to be really interesting, Anita, to see kind of where all of these horses go and what they end up doing, because we've never seen anything like this. Like, if you're Barkley Tag and you have Tis the Law, are you... Like, I think he's probably going to run in the Travers because he's a New York bred and it's a New York partnership, and the Travers is a very big race in its own right. But, like, it's a, you know, it's a mile and a quarter. It's a bear of a race. Saratoga is a very tiring track. Like, there's a chance that they might say, we're going to skip the Travers because we don't want to, like, gut our horse 4 weeks go before the Derby. So it's going to be, I think, really fascinating to see kind of what, especially the horses that have sort of qualified for the Derby already, if they're going to skip what are very, the Haskell and the Travers are prestigious stallion-making races in their own right. So do you skip those races or because you want to be more prepped for the Derby, or do you run in them like you normally do and risk the chance that your horse is going to, you know, you're going to tire your horse out for the Derby? It'll be really interesting to see what happens.
All right, last question for you before I let you go is, Tis the Law was the first New York horse to win the Belmont Stakes since 1882. Why is that?
So, you know, typically, it's kind of a long answer. I'll try to condense as much as I can.
I've only got about a minute. So.
Okay, so typically most horses are bred in Kentucky, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Some people talk about the limestone. There's a lot of BS stuff you hear from the Kentucky people about this stuff. But, you know, it's part of it, too, is just it's the temperature, it's the climate, it's also the fact that, you know, it's sort of, once it got built there and was happening, it's sort of like it gets its own momentum on its own. The same reason, like, why is Broadway as big as it is, or what, you know, because once that's sort of established, then that's that. The New York program, I will say, has grown by leaps and bounds over the last 20 years or so. And you're seeing a lot more people breed horses in New York. It's a little bit harder because of the climate, frankly. And so, you know, if you're trying to develop a young horse, it's a little bit better to have them in a little bit better weather for most of the year. But you are seeing, especially since the slot machines came in 10 years ago or so, the purses are way up for New York breds. I personally own a lot of New York breds. I breed horses in New York. And so you're seeing that, and I think you will continue to see New York breds do better and better. But it's one of those things that you still have the vast majority of horses that are bred in Kentucky. But again, I would say that I do think over the next 10 or 20 years, you will see a lot more New York bred. And you have seen some New York breds compete over the years in the big races, including Funny Side, who won the Derby and Preakness for the exact same connections earlier in the century in 2003. So it's something that will change, but it's, you know, again, it's still mostly a Kentucky thing.
Rob, thank you so much. Always appreciate your time and your insight. Enjoy your Father's Day with your daughter. Thank you, my friend.
Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We do this every time. Anita Marks with you on this Sunday fun day, a very special Sunday fun day. Why? Because it's Father's Day. How great is that? And without further ado, let's bring in Michael Collins, a.k.a. The Caddy. Happy Father's Day to you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm still waiting for my boys to get back. They were hanging out. My two youngest ones were down in Miami hanging out with their cousin and their grandparents. So I can't wait for them to get back, because Father's Day just don't seem like Father's Day if I don't have my kids around.
Well, hopefully they're on their way back right now. Are you going to spend the day with them yet?
They are. Yeah, okay, no, good. Not the whole day. You know, it is Father's Day, so it is, you know, a day where I get to do what I want to do. So spending some time on the golf course, cool. Like, that's one of the greatest gifts you can give a dad.
Isn't it?
Yeah, forget the tie. Forget the bad sweater. I don't need none of, you know what I like? Time and quiet on the golf course. And you come back after that, you're like, okay, you know what? Y'all got me for another year. Whatever y'all want now. I have my time. I'm good.
So, Mike, let's dive into one of the hottest topics that I think is really going to be fascinating, how this week progresses. Nick Watney, PGA player, shoots a 74 on Thursday at Harbortown, RBC Heritage, that's being played right now. Friday morning, wakes up feeling some kind of symptoms, I want to let our listeners know, a lot of the players, a lot of the golfers are wearing this. It's called a whoop band. Is that what, a whoop band? Is that how you pronounce
whoop. It? So, yeah, W-H-O-O-P.
So what happens is it's this band, and it regulates your health, and it lets you know when you have an elevated, your respiratory system is elevated. So, A, he was feeling symptoms on Friday morning. The whoop band was notifying him that he had elevated respiratory issues. He still went to the course. He got tested. While they were waiting on his test, he went to the driving range.
Nah, hold on, though. I would say let's not raise alarm bells when saying it that way. And here's why. One.
All right, fill me in then.
All right, so here's how this works. Number mm-hmm. one with the whoop. The whoop is, one of the great things about whoop is athletes use it to regulate their sleep and give them an idea of what they need to perform at their best when they sleep. And then so respiratory, heart rate, all of that stuff is shown and done while you sleep. So now, Nick, everyone who gets to the golf course first on the private charter that the tour provided, if you were flying on the charter from Fort Worth from Dallas to Hilton Head, you had to do the saliva test before you left. So you took it on Saturday, so the results were back, so everybody would be negative going on that plane. Watney didn't go on that plane. He flew on a different private plane. So they got there on Tuesday. So he takes his test on Tuesday, and it comes back negative. And then Friday just doesn't feel right. You know, feels under the weather, like he's getting a cold or the regular flu. So it's not that he waits to go to the golf course. The golf course is where the test is at. So it's not like he could have just woke up and been like, I got to run to the clinic. Nah. As the PGA Tour member, when you get to the golf course, that's where they're going to test you if you feel like not right. That being said, he's getting ready to go play around the golf. So what if they come back and tell him, hey, man, you just got the regular flu. Now you have warmed up and you're not ready to play, or they tell you you can't play. Like, that's going to open up a whole different can of worms. So this is, if the tour, the way they're doing this, and I applaud them, like, this is it. It's going to happen. But this is how it's got to be, because you're not going to tell someone, hey, man, you can't play golf today, and then the test comes back negative, and you got the flu or a cold. Like, that is going to open up a much worse can of worms than anything else. So
okay,
he
so
did
so
everything
let me,
according
let me,
to protocol. And,
okay.
And even when you get the nasal swab done, when you get on site the first time, you're still allowed to go practice and putt. You're just not allowed inside. So that's how it works.
So, but let me ask you a personal question, Mike. If you wake up Friday morning, and you don't feel well.
Right.
I mean, especially in the world we live in right now.
Okay.
Are you not going to call the tour? You're not going to call somebody on tour and say, listen, I really don't feel well. Like, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned.
And then I'm going to go get tested. But in today's world, you know what? I still got to pay rent. I still got to pay electric. Like, you still got to pay your bills. So let's say my nose is stuffed up and running and I'm sneezing and coughing and just feel kind of under the weather, not 100%. Like, it just don't feel right in today's world. Well, in today's world, there's testing. So I can go get tested. And I'm still trying to win a piece of that $9 million. So, like, in today's world, you're going to be like, well, I got a cold, so I gave up my check. Because if I just say I'm not going, like, if you say you're not going to work today, you getting paid? Nah. So if they go, listen, go get tested and get ready to go to work. And if it comes back positive, don't go to work. If it comes back negative, you're going to work.
Why do you think that? Go ahead, Mike.
Do I think that's wrong? Nah. I think that is the world we live in today. But I think the world we live in today is you take the greatest precautions possible. But at some point, I mean, look, you in the city. It has traffic stopped. You still got to cross the street, right? Like, if you look both ways and cross the street, well, most of the time, you ain't getting hit by a car. But you know what? People still get hit by cars every day. Like, this is a little, I understand that the analogy is sounds crazy, but it is that way. Like, people still die from the flu, too, every day. So there are precautions that you can take. And are you taking the greatest precaution that you can take? Now, everyone, there's also protocols in place now to go backwards and do all the social tracing. And everybody that he was even in proximity to, they now also had to go get a test too. The thing is, they all tested negative. Now, if he just was with there on Friday and those guys tested on Friday, they might not. If it takes 5 days, well, the test you take is going to come back negative. What's going to be interesting is next week, 5 days from Friday.
Yep.
5 days from Friday, who starts feeling any kind of effects? That's when it's going to get like, oh, here we go. This is how quick this thing can spread. But we already saw that with the NBA. We saw with MLB now, who they said, hey, you know what? Spring training, hold on. Everybody stop. Don't do nothing. So I don't know.
So a few things. Number one, can you confirm that Sergio Garcia was in his private plane? The two of them flew to Harbortown together. I read that.
I can't confirm that.
Okay, because if that's the case, again, why Sergio being allowed to play right now? Do you know what I mean? Also, his playing partners on Thursday were Von Taylor and Luke List. From what I understand, Luke List did not make the cut. Von Taylor is playing right now. And
yep.
And here's another, I'm just curious. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, and God forbid, I pray to God this doesn't happen, but let's say there are others that do come down the next 5 or 7 days tested positive. Do you think maybe facilitating a separate practice area for those
COVID chipping area, the COVID quarantine driving range, and
for players who are participating in the tournament, Mike, that at any given day, whether it's Friday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, wake up and don't feel 100%, not sure if they have it or not, just to make sure, have a separate driving range and all of that for guys that might not just be feeling 100%.
That is exactly what the social distancing protocols are for all of us. Am I wrong? Like,
no.
If you don't feel 100, if you're not sure and you feel maybe, then you should be wearing a mask. You know, for sure, you should be wearing a mask regardless when you're, you know, going to be around other people anyway. But you're supposed to stay 6 feet away from everyone. You're not supposed to touch anybody. Like, there's already protocols in place for the PGA Tour. So what are you want to enforce them? Like, well, they should have been enforced from the get-go. The Tour sends a text message out every day now to players and caddies. Remember the social distance. And it's not just because of health and safety, but it's because of the perception of people watching. And that's where this comes into play. Where this comes into play is we're lucky enough to have golf and we're watching it play out. But we're also seeing in the heat of the battle, guys are still doing fist bumps and, you know, doing the elbow, what's up, you know, like high-fiving if they hole out for eagle or make a hole-in-one. You know, we're seeing all that kind of stuff. Is that practicing the social distancing to a T like we're supposed to? No. But does that mean that we shouldn't? Well, we still should. And if you practice all those social distancing protocols, then you're already separated enough from people that if you do feel under the weather, you don't have to be corralled into a separate area, because then if the test comes back negative, you're already doing all the right things. So I don't understand when you say we should have a separate, you know, maybe COVID chipping area, or, you know, this part of the driving range is for guys that don't feel right. And then, so if you have a cold, you go over here. But what, if we're social distancing and practicing the protocols that are already in place, then that's why they're there. So you don't need to do that necessarily. You don't necessarily need to. Now, it might make you feel better, but is it going to make a difference? Probably no. I don't think so.
Mike, thanks for your time this morning. It's a very, very interesting topic. And you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. Very interesting to see what's going to happen in the next 5 to 7 days. So we will stay tuned for your reports all over SportsCenter. And you enjoy your Father's Day on the golf course with your boys.
Thank you so much. I wish we could talk about something happier and more. Like, it's Father's Day. It's beautiful outside. And now it's, oh, man, you know, We just hoping. Now it's like, oh, come on, COVID, don't mess up golf. We just got you back.
I know, right? Fingers crossed. Fingers right. crossed, Mike. Enjoy the rest of your day. Appreciate you, my friend.
Too.
Thank you. Okay.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. Let go and
have a good time. Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN. Without further ado, Brandon Steiner joins us on the show. First and foremost, Brandon, happy Father's Day, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a beautiful day out. I'm going to take full advantage.
Are you? What are you doing? What are you planning for today? What are you doing?
Nothing. I'm specializing the last 3 months in doing nothing. It's unpurposeful. Adult fun is non-purposeful things that have no purpose. Like, I'll take a walk, I'll watch a movie I haven't seen in a while. Right now I'm on Nurse Jackie. I'm on like fifth binge watching show, so I'm on Nurse Jackie, and just finished The Money Heist, so I'm loving that show. So I've been, you know, watching a lot of movies, watching a lot of stuff, and just keep myself busy doing a lot of writing. I haven't written a lot of blogs lately, and I'm writing some new blogs and contemplating my new book, which I'm gonna be writing about the comeback. So it's fun. I've been having fun.
Good for you. I've taken up hiking. In fact, I'm hiking today after the show. Each and every Sunday.
I've seen some pictures of you hiking on Facebook. I've seen
Yeah, it's like, it's my jam now. I want to say this is like, today would be like my ninth straight Sunday hike.
Wow.
And I pick a different trail each week. So
You're in good shape too, man. So
It's been unbelievable. It's been unbelievable. Each and every week I do try to look back and try to pull out some of the positives in regard to the pandemic and what's happening. So, but
yeah,
anyway,
what's crazy is I'm going over bridges thinking about jumping at some point in March, because in April I'm thinking, I don't know where this is going, and I don't know, maybe I started my new business too soon. I don't know how this is going to work. And then all of a sudden, like everybody, we went home. And we started cleaning our closets. We started cleaning the basements. My wife was all over me, get this junk out of here. I have excessive amounts of collecting. I have a lot of issues. So I stop all of it. And I'm like, you know something? Like, and all of a sudden, people are coming out of the woodworks. Because, you know, my collectible exchange is like a form of eBay. So all of a sudden, I'm coming from maybe, you know, dark despair to my office is packed with stuff. And I think we have over 60,000 items on collectible exchange, because on my new company, you buy and sell. I'm not just here just selling. It's like I'm helping other people sell their stuff. So it's been fun. It's actually the last 7 or 8 weeks. I just can't believe it.
So pretty much, well, let's rewind. Okay. So Steiner has a new company out. It's called Collectible Exchange. com. And so pretty much you're like an eBay for sports memorabilia, right? Yeah. Is that in a nutshell?
Yeah. That's in a nutshell. I mean, I have some partnerships, like I'm doing all the UFC fight collectibles, which I'm getting into UFC fighting, which I really wasn't a huge fan of, but I'm getting into it. It's kind of amazing. You know what I just took on? I have about three or four projects, but, you know, I've sold a lot of dirt, bricks. You know, I've been known to sell grass legally, you know, the freeze-dried grass off the field. But I took the most famous roof, the Syracuse Dome, and we just launched that last week. So that's been fun. I come up with a lot of cool products where I've been able to cut up the dome, which is, I don't know what they were going to do with it, but I thought it would be a fun project. And kind of, you know, so many great moments at the dome. If all you Syracuse Nation fans out there, you know what I mean. You know, it's Duke, Georgetown, just lacrosse. So that's been fun. That's been taking up a lot of my time the last 2 weeks. The other day, I cannot believe, but I think we had 4,000 orders just on the Syracuse Dome, which even at Snyder, my old company, like, we weren't doing 4,000 orders in a day. So I'm like, oh, boy, I don't know if people are really bored or that I guess I misunderstood how important that roof was. I mean, we think about all those games and Boeheim running up and down and throwing off his jacket. And I wish they remind him all those Georgetown losses. You know,
so here, Brandon, here's the thing. Like, and this is what I'm finding with me, and I'm finding this with a lot of my friends, is that because there's not a lot to do, we tend to find ourselves at home, and then we tend to find ourselves on Amazon.com, and we tend to be buying stuff online. So, you know, I think.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I think, you know, I'm sure the dome, is a hot commodity. But on top of that, I think you've got a lot of people that are at home and they're bored. And so they go online. And for those that, you know, are blessed and are still employed and can afford, are buying a lot of stuff online.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I think that things are looking a little more optimistic now. I think people are starting to see the light. I'm worried about sports, you know, just because how fast this thing can turn on you. I always felt like the baseball thing would get resolved by tomorrow, so we'll see if that's true or not. But it's a difficult situation that now all of a sudden the players find themselves in, and just all the different safety and everything else. It's like, do you go play for a third of your pay? It's going to be very tricky to convince the players to do without there being resentment and all kinds of fallback to next year where, you know, you're sitting against, you know, the collective bargaining agreement. I think the winner of all this, though, I was going to ask you about this, is I think hockey. I think hockey's going to get it together, definitely play some hockey. They'll be the first on board. I don't know if people out there, as many as you think, have watched playoff hockey, but it's probably the best of the best. It's intense. These guys are going to be well-rested. So that would, you know, be the first thing. I mean, I'm watching Korean baseball. I'm watching – how about that Met game yesterday against Houston? They popped on Fox. I'm sitting there like I never saw that game before. But it was fun watching it. It was a great game. So I think anything live now, you know, we're watching the Belmont yesterday. I mean, you're desperate to watch anything live and something new. I think hockey could be the big winner. The big loser, though, I'm really worried about is college football. And mainly because you're not going to be able to put those guys in a bubble. And those guys are going to be all over. And you have the kids back on campus. And I see there's a tendency. I don't want to just broad stroke it, but there's a tendency of the kids not necessarily falling into line as we see around the country. So I can't imagine the kids on college campus are going to fall right into line.
How could they? I mean, like take ourselves back. Like I can't honestly sit here and tell you that if I was a 18, 19 year old college athletic student that I would quarantine myself. I can't honestly sit here and tell you that I would abide by all those rules. But did you hear that the players have to sign a waiver?
What kills me about the whole college thing is that, and you know, the whole thing's awkward, but those college towns are feeding off those athletics. There's so much when you go into these college environments where there are so many people that rely on those revenues. Those stores, those bars, those souvenir shops, and the people that work for those games. You know, it's one thing with the pros, and those are key people also that are, you know, but when you get to these college towns, that is, Ann Arbor is Michigan and a couple of the other colleges that are there. And when you get to Columbus, you know, Ohio State's such a big part of that town. you wonder those repercussions. And that's what I feel really bad about. Obviously, the players are now going to possibly lose another year, some of these sports, as you start getting into the end of the year. But the football thing, you know, I just don't see it. I think they're the losers. I'm curious what's going to happen with the NBA, because with the NBA, what I was just thinking, it's like if they don't play, if they decide not to play, which I can't imagine that they would, what a huge pay cut the players can end up taking, because they're going to have to refund some really big checks to ABC, TNT, ESPN. I mean, that's where all the money is packed into the playoffs, and that's where all the money that they have not yet earned. So not going back to play would put them in a really – because that's big, big money. One of the bigger TV contracts, the NBA. I wonder what's going to happen if you don't play.
But, Brandon, this is what it comes down to, right? And this is the conversation that I'm having today on the show. And that is – and we're seeing it. I know it plays out in life, but now we're seeing it play out in sports. And money is more important than health and safety. At the end of the day, money is more important than health and safety. And we saw it, you know, one of the biggest storylines right now is Nick Watney, PGA Tour player, getting tested, coming down positive on Friday. But, you know, still went out while he was waiting for his test result, went to the driving range, and went to the putting green. Why? Because if it would have come back negative, he would have had to have teed off on Friday. And you got to make sure the dude is ready to roll. So
I agree with you.
So jeopardize everybody else he came in contact with.
Yeah. Yeah. The smart money is you just chill to the end of the year. As hard as that may sound, as much as we kind of need something to get us kind of going, it would be nice to have some sports to kind of occupy some of our time. The smart money is chill. I tell you, it's been, you know, I'm a sports junkie, maybe not quite as much as you are, but, you know, I'm at probably 100 events a year and watching and all this other. And it has been a little bit of a breath of fresh air for me to just be able to non-focus on every day. Because, you know, in our businesses, every day, things are changing so rapidly. If we don't follow, we can't talk about it or make money on it, in my case. And it's difficult. So to have a few months of not having to follow every sport, all these different players, all the things that are going on, which I'm extremely grateful for. But it is a breath of, wow, what a break to actually focus on some other things and some simplistic things. But there's a lot of money, as people now realize. I remember when I first got in the business, you know, I remember George Steinbrenner coming to my school and speaking. And he says, you know, this sport is a business. Now I'm beginning to think this business is a sport. It's crazy.
Brandon, thank you so much for spending time with us this afternoon, this morning. Really do appreciate it. And congratulations on your new business, collectibleexchange.com. And that's with an X, exchange.com.
Appreciate you, my friend.
Happy Father's Day. Enjoy.
Thank you.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN, hour three on this Father's Day. Without further ado, Cynthia Freeland joins us from the Left Coast. Cynthia, I want to say it's been like a good 2 or 3 weeks since we've had you on the show. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's been such a long time.
It feels like, because we typically have you on each and every week, so...
You know, time's flying, Anita. We need to get it back together. You know.
All right. First and foremost, you know what? You work for the NFL Network. You're around a number of players, a number of on-air analysts and ex-players who are kind of in the know. What are you being told, or what are you hearing in regard to the season and when the season's going to start and all that good stuff? Like, what time frame are you hearing about?
I feel like every week something different. So as much as I want to say, you know, I think it's going to be normal and everything, I feel like a variety of different things could happen, from from it being pretty normal to only 2 preseason games to no fans until, you know, November. So there's a lot of different ranges of outcomes. And I guess right now I'm just optimistic that, at least from a viewer standpoint, maybe not having people in the stadiums, but I think I'm hopeful for the at least 2 preseason games and then start the season on time.
You know, we're seeing so much It's somewhat of a roller coaster ride we're seeing across the league, right? Like, I've spent a lot of time this show talking about Nick Watney, the PGA Tour player that was tested positive because of how that all unfolded, which I think might turn around and bite the PGA Tour in the butt in the next 5 or 6 days. Only time will tell. You know, the NBA anticipating the guys to arrive in Florida, in Orlando, that happens to be a hot spot right now, to be bubbled. And get their season off. You know, now there's talking, well, should we really do that considering that COVID-19 cases are on over 4,000 tested positive yesterday alone, just on a Saturday? I just feel like one day, it's on, another day it's off, another day it's good news. I just feel like we're on a roller coaster ride each and every day. You don't know what to expect.
Yeah. I mean, luckily we'll have some time, and you know, the NBA can teach us some lessons, and college football will have to make a decision as well. So there's a lot of things at play, and I bet you there are 15 different scenarios that the NFL all has modeled out. So who knows what's going to happen? I'm just trying to stay positive with it.
Do you think it could be a situation where, like, do you think the NFL would be in a situation where, like, let's say the season starts and then something happens and it'll have to stop and then restart again? Like
that, I would hope. That sounds awful.
it sounds horrible, right?
Awful.
But this is we saw the NBA pretty much is in the midst of that. Granted, you know, they didn't start the season during a pandemic, and chances are we might see this happen with the PGA Tour, depending on what happens this week with the fallout of Nick Watney. You just don't know. Like, you know, all these leagues have to be prepared for everything. I do want to talk to you about the players and what's going on with the players, because the NFL this week came out and told the players, hey, stop practicing together. But more so than practicing, like, you know, the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans players, they decided during a pandemic to have a party. You know, at the end of the day, Cynthia, here's the thing, like, no matter how many rules are in place and guidelines and the league's trying to keep everybody as safe as possible. Another big topic is, are the players going to do what it takes to stay as safe as possible? And my answer is no, Cynthia. I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they are, because they want to get paid. Maybe not right now, but they wouldn't be doing this. They would be partying right now a little bit more than normal anyways. So I do think once it starts to affect where their paycheck could be kind of impacted, I do think we see them, you know, I think we see them pulled together.
Let me just say this, beyond the NFL players, like, and I've talked about this on my show before, right, Cynthia? And I think it's professional athletes across the board. And I'll even go one step further. It's not just athletes. I think we as a society, I think we're pretty spoiled. I think we as a society and there's a large percentage that are just so sick and tired of being cooped up for the 3 months that we were quarantined or what have you. And we become so laxed, like, we become so, you know, like, oh, I don't need a mask. I don't need to wear gloves now. I think we're taking more chances now as a society. And
I think so. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are noticing that, you know, there are a lot of asymptomatic people. So most people think they're kind of going to fall into that category. I think that, you know, we all think, oh, well, it's not going to affect us. I think that's kind of I feel like I get that mentality a little bit too.
So we really haven't heard or seen a professional athlete contract COVID-19 and have a real serious situation where, God forbid, you know, they're in the ICU or they're on a ventilator or possibly pass away from it. So do you think that's playing into this as well? Is that, you know, there's this philosophy like, well, I'm an athlete. I'm in unbelievable shape and I'm really healthy, that even if I take the risk and I get it, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, I think, I mean, because you haven't seen many people in our age group overall, right, in the age group that, that the players are in really be super impact. You haven't seen, you haven't heard a number of those cases. It hasn't seemed very prevalent amongst that demographic. So I feel like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I think it's that they are not taking it seriously, or it, I think they just think that if they get it, it's not going to be a big deal. And I also think that, you know, like I said, it's the off season, so they're not thinking the same way they would be thinking necessarily, you know, if it were a normal like, you know, July when they need to start coming back to training camp.
I had read a report today that a few 49er players were getting tested, and Jimmy Garoppolo being one of them. Dr. Fauci came out this week and told CNN that he thinks that in order for the NFL to have a successful season, that they would need to be bubbled. So, I mean, but here's the thing. In talking to a number of people, feasibly, just impossible. In like, it's one thing to take 22 NBA teams and bubble them in an area in Orlando, but 32 NFL teams, the number of players, the number of practice squad players, the you know, how much, you know, player, like how you dip into the practice squad, the medical staff, coaches. I mean, it was just, to me, it was just, it would, I don't know if it would be feasible for the NFL and its owners to put everybody in a bubble. What were your first thoughts when you heard Dr. Fauci's comments?
Like, I think bubble is really hard. I think in general, maybe finding one area, there's very limited places that could handle that many football players for that long. I do think, though, that, you know, a lot of different options are being explored. And when I heard Dr. Fauci say that, I got scared that we weren't going to have a season. But I think, though, I think that there will be a situation where realistically there will be, you know, there will be potentially maybe a more limited number. I mean, I don't know if it, one bubble could work, but, you know, you could do a more, you could break things down into smaller units than they currently, you know, than one bubble, just way too many people for in football, involved in football. So unsure, you know, unclear if that's the case, but I don't know, like that. I'm just lucky we have more time, you know, that you can figure it.
I mean, do you think a bubble situation is a possibility? Like, let's say, for example, let's take the AFC East, for example. And so Buffalo, the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Jets, let's say, hypothetically speaking, they bubble together and they pick a site that's on the East Coast. Same thing for the AFC. What, like, is that, do you think that's doable, that they pick maybe 8 bubble sites and have each division bubble together?
I mean, they'd have to really change the schedule, but I think that any option, if it had to come to that, I do think that they would figure it out, because I think any option that, you know, allows for games to be played is on the table. You know, I don't think it's going to come down to, you know, hopefully it doesn't come down to that, but switching the schedule is a very, like, that's a daunting task. So I guess it will have to more be about, you know, where, like, how necessary, like how much do we really need to be doing that? You know what I mean? So, gosh, I hope that none of these things are anything that we really have to even consider, but, you know, I think all things are on the table.
Cynthia Freeland joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Cynthia, how do you anticipate COVID-19 to affect handicapping for us this season? You know, because, again, here's Nick Watney, who on Friday morning didn't feel well, went to the course, got tested, and then was told a few hours later, okay, you're positive, so we've got to quarantine you. So how do you feel COVID-19, and that very well could happen week to week with a number of players. I mean, obviously, the Tampa Bay Bucks lose Tom Brady. That's going to be more significant than, you know, another team. Right. Like, than another team losing, like, you know, a third string cornerback. But how do you envision COVID-19 affecting handicapping for the NFL season this year?
I think there's going to be more opportunities to find, you know, a mispriced stock, if you put it that way, right? Like, because ultimately, just to keep track of things, in the beginning of the season, the first 4 weeks of the season, we see a lot of mispriced stocks, I'll say it like that, right? Like mispriced lines, because we don't have all the information. And this year, more than ever, it's very likely that we could not, because think about it. If you don't have the opportunity to, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen this preseason. The first few weeks are going to be just like the people who know and the people who don't know. I think there's going to be a greater divide between the two of them, right? So I think there'll be more opportunities to, you know, exploit mispriced stocks, and just staying on top of things will allow for some, you know, some interesting, at least thoughtfulness around what could be different and how you could, you know, really see a, you know, I can see, like, you know, especially in prop bets or individual bets, like how many yards a quarterback's going to throw for. If you're missing a wide receiver or something, you're going to be able to, you'll be able to see those things quicker, probably.
Yeah, but again, I think it's going to be fascinating for us, because at least for me, a lot of times, you know, I like to get my bets in early before the lines change, right? And so, you know, I try to do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, 3 hours before game time on Sunday, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster tests positive for COVID-19. Okay, well, I don't know. Here's another thing. Here's another question. Like, how do you think sports books are going to handle that? Like, if I put in a bet, Pittsburgh Steelers -3.5 against Cleveland. Okay. And 3 hours before game time, Juju Smith-Schuster comes down with COVID-19. You know, can I get a refund? Like, is there going to be like a pandemic, you know, refund part of sports books out there? I think there should be, don't you?
Yeah, I bet there will be. Because otherwise people would be so turned off. It would not, people would be so turned off when that happened that it would just be, they would hate it. Right? Like, people would be like, this isn't fair. Nobody likes the idea that anything to do with sports is unfair. So this would just be adding to that. So I think there would probably be some contingency. They'll come out with something, because otherwise, no, you know, there's not going to be any demand. Everyone would just be like, well, I don't want to do this because of the fear of that. Right? Like, that's no fun.
Last question for you before I let you go. Have you had any conversation with any coaches or, and you don't have to name names, but just out of curiosity, have you had any conversation with any coaches or players that have some major concerns about the season, where they're contemplating maybe not wanting to participate?
You know, I asked a few people and I haven't found a single player or coach, or, you know, not necessarily head coach, but, you know, position coaches. I haven't found a single person that is concerned about the season not happening or not wanting to play. Now, that also, it's June, so maybe that would change come a month from now when training camp's supposed to be starting. But ultimately, I haven't encountered a single one. You know, I heard Sean McVay, he sounded a little bit more concerned than maybe others, at least publicly. But in my private conversations with any of these coaches, everyone seems like, you know, they're just ready to go. They're handling it and they're really confident in, you know, the medical procedures that will be put in place ahead of the season. So I haven't heard that sentiment. But, you know, again, I've probably talked to maybe 2-3 dozen people. So that's 36. There are considerably more people in the NFL than that. So I don't know, though. I haven't heard a single one even have that sentiment so far.
All right. I lied. I have one more for you, because I know you commission our fantasy football league.
Yes.
Because of COVID-19, because I commissioned a few as well, and I've been thinking about this, because of COVID-19, are you going to have extra spaces on the roster because of COVID-19? Like I think fantasy football, I think those that commission are going to, like, extra rounds, like maybe we do 20 rounds instead of 16, so we have extra bench players because of COVID-19. You agree with that?
Absolutely. That's going to have to be the standard, right? It's going to have to be the standard for kind of everyone at this point, because otherwise you're just really making it no fun. You know, the whole point is to enjoy it and have fun, right? So if it feels like unfair, right, then you're going to have to create some contingency plans.
Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us. Always great to hear your voice. I'm glad you're doing so well out there on the West Coast.
Yeah, stay safe.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.